Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. Jesus told a story of, or parable of, the wheat and the tares. Now, this is wheat. These are tares. The tiny seed looks almost identical. And then while they're growing, they look pretty identical. It's not till the wheat and the tares are full grown that you can see that the wheat produces golden, edible grain. The tares are dark and produce a bitter, poisonous grain. And Jesus said, here's the parable, a farmer plants wheat in his field. But that night when he was sleeping, an enemy came and sowed tares among the weeds. So the workers come and say, farmer, should we go pull the tares out from the wheat? And the farmer basically, no, because we can't tell what's what yet. Wait till everything is full grown. And then you can see to pull the wheat out and put it in my barn and pull the tares out and throw it into the fire. And Jesus said, I planted the good wheat. Satan came in and planted the tares. And you're not going to know who's who until the very end of time, the harvest, judgment day, and then Christ will determine who's a wheat and who's a tare. And he'll take the tares and put them in the fire, and he'll take his wheat and gather it into his barn. Let's learn all that we can today from this powerful parable that Jesus told 2,000 years ago. Let's pray. Father, we pray now your Holy Spirit would teach us. And Lord, we want to be the wheat and not the tares. And Lord, just enlighten us by your Holy Spirit how we can be that. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, so Jesus tells that story to the multitude. I don't think they quite got it, because then he has to explain it later to the disciples privately. Look at this. We're going to turn to Matthew chapter 13. Now we're going to see his explanation to the parable of the tares. Matthew 13, starting in verse 26. Then Jesus left the multitudes and went into the house, and the disciples came to him saying, explain to us the parable of the tares. And Jesus answered and said, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. Jesus is the one who sowed the good seed. And the field is the world. And as for the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom. And the tares are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. And the harvest is the end of the age. And the reapers are angels. Therefore, just as the tares are gathered up and burned with fire, so it shall be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send forth his angels. They will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness. They will cast them into the furnace of fire. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. That's the parable. What I want to do now is share with you five, I think, rather important lessons we get from that parable. Lesson number one. Beware of what happens when you sleep. It was when the farmer was sleeping that Satan snuck in. It's when the church is asleep that false teaching slips in. It's when the church is asleep and not following Christ that immorality comes in. If it's when you're asleep, you're not diligently reading the Bible, praying, following Christ, that's when your life can get messed up. So beware. Stay awake. Back in 1978, 900 people committed suicide at the behest of the Reverend Jim Jones. The Reverend Jim Jones, to begin with, looked like a wheat. Evangelical Christian, teaching some of the stuff I teach. But then he, as he got older, just things became bitter, and 900 people killed themselves for that man. And lesson number one here is beware. It could happen in your church. I hope you all go to a good church. But could that happen in your church? Well, if you're not diligently following Christ, following the scriptures, it could. I think the false church is here. The anything goes church is here. I got an email yesterday from a Lutheran lady in Pennsylvania. Pastor Brock, we are going to have our first vote to get our congregation out of the liberal ELCA Lutheran Church into a more biblical branch of Lutheranism. You know, she'd pray for us, etc. Well, she sent me an email. Well, we were called bigots and everything for trying to follow Scripture. We had the vote. The other side brought in people from the nursing home to vote, and so we lost the vote. 50 of us now are leaving our church and joining a more biblical branch of Lutheranism. And I told her, I know that's hard what you've been through, but good for you. The fact that you're leaving is showing them something is amiss. So the first lesson I get is stay awake, make sure you're going to a good Bible-believing church, and once you join that, stay awake. Next lesson I get from this parable. Accounts will not be settled until the end of time. That's when Judgment Day happens, Christ comes down, and he separates the sheep from the goats, the tares from the wheat. But it doesn't happen till the end of time. Maybe you've heard this story. A farmer in Iowa writes a letter to the editor of the local newspaper. Dear sir, I am an atheist. My neighbors are Christians. They won't work on Sunday. So I did an experiment. This year I planted all my crops on Sunday. They won't work on Sunday, but I planted my crops on Sunday. And then I tilled my crops on Sunday. And then this October, I harvested my crops on Sunday, and I discovered I have a better yield and a bigger crop than all my Christian neighbors, signed the farmer. Well, the editor printed the letter, but the editor put a note from the editor under the letter. Dear sir, God does not settle all of his accounts in October. In this story, things don't get set right until the very end, Judgment Day, when Christ returns. I have a brother who lives in Colorado. I sent him an email yesterday. Because Minnesota, for the last 2 years, the Democrats have been totally in control of our state. Now we have recreational marijuana in Minnesota. We are a safe state for children to get sex change operations. Now in Minnesota, we have abortion on demand, no restrictions. You can get an abortion right up to the day of delivery. And if the baby is born alive and survives the abortion, the doctor doesn't have to keep the baby alive. He can let it die on the table. Now, I just read this. Now the Democrats are in control of Colorado. The same stuff now is going through, and I basically wrote my brother saying, oy, yoy, yoy. As you can tell, these things bother me, but I've got to remember, one day everyone will give an account, and Jesus will put all of this right. It's called Judgment Day. Next lesson. From the parable of the tares. There are only two kinds of people on earth. You are a wheat or a tare. You are a child of God or a child of the devil. You are going into the barn or into the furnace. You are a Christian or you're not. You're a saint or you ain't. But everybody is one of two categories. Now, again, I hope you go to a good church. Is it possible at your church you've got tares sitting among the wheat on Sunday morning? I think that's probable, because if Jesus' little church of 12 men, the disciples, had a tare, Judas, I think there are probably false Christians in every church. The question is, what do we do with the tares? And here's my next lesson from this parable. Excommunicate the tares but don't over-excommunicate them. Let me explain that. Some people think this parable means, no, you don't kick anybody out of church. You let them both grow until Judgment Day. That's not the meaning here. Because in this parable, Jesus said the world is the field. Not the church is the field. In this parable, the world is the field. And elsewhere in Matthew 18, Jesus commands us to excommunicate people. If there's someone in your church that is causing harm, they're living in sin, they're making other people stumble, and you plead with them and they won't repent, Jesus says, kick that person out of your church. You know, it might wake them up. What we're not allowed to do is to burn them. That is what the angels do at the end of time. We're to excommunicate, but we can't pronounce final, ultimate judgment on them. I mean, Cecil Richards, the president of the abortion giant Planned Parenthood, died a while ago. And I saw somebody write something that said, well, now we know she's in hell. Well, she oversaw millions of abortions. Is she in hell? Well, if she didn't turn from her sin and come to Christ for salvation, yes, she's in hell. But we can't make that judgment. We don't know what people do in their last breath, like the thief on the cross. So, but we are to we need to excommunicate people for their own good. I mean, let me share this with you. I think it was about in the 1990s. I was watching my least favorite TV show, The Phil Donahue Show. He had a pro-life woman on stage, and next to her, he had George Tiller, the infamous late-term abortionist from Wichita, Kansas. And the pro-lifer is making the point, how can you kill these unborn children? George Tiller, I'm a Lutheran, George Tiller was a Lutheran elder in his Lutheran church in Wichita, and he said, well, I baptize the babies after I abort them. And the pro-lifer went, like, well, then they must be human, mustn't they? I found the phone number of his church in Wichita. I wrote the pastor a letter, and I said, how can you let this man be an elder of your church? He kills babies with his hands during the week, and then he hands out Holy Communion on Sunday morning. You know, you need to excommunicate this man. Well, he didn't. And you know what happened? I'm not condoning this. In fact, I'm condemning this. Somebody in 2009 walked into George Tiller's church, where he was an usher that morning, and killed the abortionist. Now, what would have happened had the pastor said, you know, George, if you're going to continue to perform these horrible, grisly late-term abortions or any abortions, you can't be a member here until you repent of that. Maybe George Tiller would have woken up and maybe he'd be alive. But, you know, we excommunicate people for their good. We are to do that, but we aren't to burn people. Has the church ever burned people? Joan of Arc, the Spanish Inquisition of the Catholic Church, the medieval Catholic Inquisition, burned Protestants. I mean, I'm a Lutheran. Luther had to hide for a year to protect himself. So, you know, we're not in the position to make final judgment. Only God can do that. But we are to excommunicate people for their good, hoping they'll wake up, repent, and join the church again. All right, one more lesson today. And this is the most important lesson from the parable of the tares. The most important thing in life is to make sure you are a wheat and not a tare. The most important thing for you is to know you're a wheat, you're going into the barn, and you're not a tare, and you're going to go into the furnace. Well, how do I make sure of that? Well, it's kind of easy. In verse 41, Jesus defines what a tare is. A tare is a stumbling block, one who does lawlessness. So ask yourself the question, am I a stumbling block? Do I cause people to turn away from Christ, or do I cause people to move toward Christ? Or am I working lawlessness? Is my life full of sin. Now, we all sin in thought, word, and deed. I'm not talking perfection here. But when you sin, are you sorry? Do you repent? Do you fight your sin? Do you want to follow Christ? And is that the direction of your life? Or are you living in sin, nobody's going to tell you to stop it, and your life is full of lawlessness? Then you're a terror. Even if you go to church, and you know, as a pastor, I just plead with you, repent. You don't want to go into the fire. You want to go into the barn. I mean, I remember we had a 16-year-old at my church who really became an evangelist. And he went to his high school and said to his friends, turn or burn. And some of his friends got upset and stayed away from him after that. But God bless him, he tried. I'm going to close with this. There's a story of a neighbor who lived across the street from a doctor and his family. This neighbor was jealous of the doctor. One night, the neighbor looks across the street late at night. There's a fire starting in the house of the doctor. Did the neighbor pick up the phone, call him, or did he run across the street, bang on the door? No, the story goes that then the neighbor pulled up a rocking chair and watched the house burn to the ground, killing the doctor, his wife, and one of the children. Listen, according to this parable, there's coming a judgment day. On that day, if you don't know Christ, you're not trusting him, you're going into the fire. If you trust Christ, you're going into the barn, heaven. And so I want to just close by challenging you to do something. Within the next week, will you tell one person about Jesus Christ? Don't be the neighbor on the porch that is watching people go to hell and you don't care. No, no. My challenge to you is, in the next 7 days, would you pray about it and try to share Christ with one person to get them out of the fire into the barn? And you might say, well, what do I tell them? Well, tell them the story. You can basically say, you know, the Bible says there's a heaven and a hell. And the Bible says we're all sinners and Christ came to earth to die for our sins and rise from the dead. And if you trust in him, believe in him, you'll be forgiven and you'll go to heaven. But if you reject him, continue your lawless ways, you're going to the fire. So I just plead with everybody, would you come to Christ and believe in him? That is the parable of the wheat and the tares. Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor Study where we ask Pastor Brock questions regarding the Bible. Pastor Brock, our first question today is from a viewer. What is your opinion of those who claim to have died and went to heaven and come back? There are so many making this claim. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, you can't deny that it's possible. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul the Apostle said, I died, and he didn't die. He had a vision. He went to heaven, mm-hmm. and he was able to come back. So obviously that one's okay. But you got to be careful with this stuff. There was an awful book, best-selling book years ago, called Embraced by the Light by Betty Eady. And she, I just read part of it, and you know, she goes to heaven. It sounds very convincing. And then Jesus said to me, the people on earth are wrong. I'm not God. They think I'm God. I'm not God. I think, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. The Bible teaches Jesus is God. 1 Corinthians, you know, I could give you the verses. But the church has taught for 2,000 years Jesus is God because that's what the Bible teaches. But she came out kind of with a Mormon or Jehovah's Witness version of God. Paul the Apostle said, if somebody preaches to you a different Christ, mm-hmm. let them be cursed. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, but I had a vision. Well, you thought you had a vision. Satan can give you a vision. So there
exactly.
you go.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, here's another question from a viewer. I have great difficulty in accepting the reality that God is really going to forgive me and let me enter heaven. I am 80 years old and have sinned in my past. I say every day, over and over, please forgive me, God. Will God forgive me when I face him? I ask him every day, many times a day.
And I think, you know, guilt is a weird thing. You can know what's wrong and still feel it. Sometimes you got to ignore your feelings. And I encouraged her, when you sin, claim 1 John 1:9. If we confess, God is faithful and just to forgive us. You don't have to ask
15 times for God to forgive something you did when you were 25. Confess it once, receive God's forgiveness, and move on. But I think she's kind of caught in a guilt trip here, and she needs to claim scriptures, whether she feels it or not, claim the blood of Christ. He did die for this sin. I am forgiven, and I'm going to ignore guilt. Now, the devil likes to bring up our sins. We, you know, they overcame him in the book of Revelation by the blood of the Lamb. Christ's substitutionary death is what brings us forgiveness. We cling to that when the devil tells us, you're damned.
Amen. Will Christians go through Judgment Day? Are we not already forgiven of our sins? Will God bring them up again?
Well, Christians do have to go through Judgment Day. Now, we know the final verdict. We know we've been justified. That means declared not guilty by the death of Christ. So I know going into Judgment Day that because of Christ's death, he paid for my sins. I know my sins are forgiven. I'm going to heaven. But I still have to go through Judgment Day. Excuse me. And that's 2 Corinthians 5, 7, that we have to give an account. Mm-hmm. Now, there are Christians who will go into heaven with great rewards. There are other Christians who will go into heaven, but without the rewards they could have had because of the way they lived their life. Mm-hmm. So I do think we need to maintain what the Bible says. Yeah, we're all going to go through Judgment Day, believers, unbelievers, everybody. Mm-hmm. We're saved by grace, but grace is proved by the way we live our lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Is it ever biblical to kick a person out of the church? Shouldn't we love people and be patient with them?
We should love people. We should be patient. And before we kick someone out of the church, we plead with them, mm-hmm. please stop cheating on your wife. You're killing your marriage. You're hurting your family. Would you stop doing this? And you plead with them. And if they repent, there's hope, there's forgiveness, they can stay in the church. If they hard-heartedly, no, I'm keeping the mistress, for their sake, mm-hmm. you kick them out of the church, hoping they'll repent. I mean, there's a church here in the Twin Cities, big church. There was a man in the church that was using that congregation as his playground to seduce women. And I think they pleaded with the guy. They said, you can't do this anymore. You got to stop this. Finally, the pastor had to get in the pulpit and say, there's a certain person here. Let me give you his name. And he did. And he said, young women, stay away from this man. And talk about gumption. The guy stood up in the service and said, well, if you want to hear my side of the story, see me after church. Can you imagine? Some people are so hard-hearted, mm-hmm. the only thing you can do for the sake of the church is mm-hmm. to kick him out. And for his sake.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do I tell someone to help them become a Christian?
Well, my plea was for people to share the gospel with somebody in the next 7 days. And you just, the very basics, here it is, 1 Corinthians 15, we're all sinners. Mm-hmm. God came down from heaven and became a human being. His name was Jesus. He lived the perfect life we couldn't. So he could go to the cross to die for our sins, pay for our sin debt. He rose from the dead. Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. In whatever one of your words you want to put them. But that's the basic thing we say to people so they can be saved. Then you invite them to church.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are there levels of rewards in heaven?
I think 1 Corinthians chapter 3 teaches yes. So read that over. Paul talks about these two people. Mm-hmm. They both have the foundation of Christ in their life. One builds with great stuff, and he goes to heaven with great rewards. The other builds up with cruddy stuff. He goes to heaven because he had Christ, but it's not what he could have been. There's different rewards in heaven. Mm-hmm. And there's different punishments, different degrees of punishment in hell. Jesus told a parable where he said, he who knew his master's bidding mm-hmm. and didn't do it will receive many lashes. He who didn't know his master's will and still sin will receive few. So I think there'll be levels in hell.
Wow. Levels in both heaven and hell.
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. What if you repent, but you don't really sincerely mean it?
Right. Well, God knows what's going on. And I mean, somebody said, well, what if somebody leads a horrible life and then last minute, God, forgive me. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thief on the cross. He led a horrible life, but truly repented and mm-hmm. truly came to Christ. I think he's in heaven. Jesus said, mm-hmm. you'll see him, you know, in today you'll be with me in paradise. But on the other hand, God knows if you're faking it, and you're just, you know, if it's fire insurance, there needs to be a true sorrow over sin and putting our faith in Christ for our salvation.
Okay. Jesus overturned tables in his Father's house. What makes churches with gift and coffee shops in them any different?
Yeah, some people think because Jesus turned over the money changers' tables in the temple, that means you can't have sell donuts in the narthex or whatever. What Jesus was doing, the money changers in the temple were making money off of the congregation. People would come and they'd make them charge a lot of money to get a lamb to do the sacrifice, and Jesus turned those tables over. Mm-hmm. I think if somebody's selling donuts in the narthex, that's not at all the same thing.
Okay.
So there you go. Yeah.
Jesus says that the unforgivable sin will never be forgiven, either in this age or the age to come. Does that mean that Jesus could potentially forgive someone of sin in the age to come?
I think Jesus said when the householder gets up and closes the door, people will stand outside saying, "Let me in." He says, "Nope." I think once you die, it's over. If you haven't accepted Christ before you died, there's not a second chance after you die. It's heaven or hell.
Yeah. All right. I think we have time for one more.
Okay.
I was living in an apartment where I encountered a spirit of my sister Karen, which bothers me greatly. We didn't get along and there was always tension between us. I also felt the spiritual being in my apartment. I couldn't see them. Your thoughts?
Well, what I told her is make sure you're in a good church. And if this continues, have some people from your church come over and pray over your house. And just pray that the Lord, if there's anything evil here, Lord, in the name of Jesus, cast it out. Pray for your angels to watch over my house, protect me and my family or whatever. So if it continues, I would get people from the church to come out and pray for you. Yeah. Well, Mona, that's about it. But everybody, thanks for watching our program today. If you want to watch all of our sermons for free at any time, you go to pastorstudy.org. If God would nudge you to support our ministry, it's the support of our listeners that keep us on the air. So pray about that if you would. And again, everybody, try to share Jesus with one person this week. Pray about it. Lord, who would you have me talk to? And I know we all get nervous doing this, but give the devil a conniption fit. Do it anyway. So there we go. But we'll see you next time at the Pastor Study.
Luke 1:37, for with God, nothing will be impossible. Have a great week. Thanks for joining us today on the Pastor's Study.
Thank you for watching the Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write the Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.